This story is called Prayer of Pilgrimage. This story is similar to the story A Power of Light in two ways. One is there's the image or talk of pilgrimage, and the second way is that its relevance to our sparks of humanity and developing the practice of claiming our spark is more intuitive than linear. Hang with me. By the end of it, it may become clear. The latter part of 2010, I was planning and putting together what I thought of and was calling a pilgrimage of love. The pilgrimage I spoke of in the story, A Power of Light, I thought of and called a pilgrimage of hope. And then the following year, 2007, I had gone to Okobo, a village in what is now South Sudan, and that I thought of and spoke of as a pilgrimage of faith. By 2010, I was sufficiently embedded or mired in the Christian terminology and usage so that it made sense for this third pilgrimage to be a pilgrimage of love. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says there are three things that endure: faith, hope, and love. So even though I had a quite good idea of what hope was, I had a feel for it, and I had a feel for faith, and I had no feel at all for love, that seemed to need to be the title of the name for the pilgrimage. And also let me say that at this point in my life, I was the image I've developed is that of a big fish that was towing me through circumstances. It's as if, as I also mentioned in the story of Power of Light, that time when I had an experience of something that I thought of as whatever that was, and I came to use the language of God to people who could handle that language and to make it easier, I began to get this feeling that in that event, a big fish had been swimming by, and I'd thrown out this grappling hook, and the fish had taken it in its mouth, and I was holding on to the end of the wire or the line, and the fish was towing me from that point on. So I think of it as the big fish, and I experience it being towed, although at times it seems the line is slack. But that's okay, the connection is still there, the line is still there. And thinking about it, I think it was that was within me which resonated when I was given the insight that there's a spark of humanity in everyone, that something in me felt a call by that, recognized the truth in that. And there wasn't much in me in those days that was recognizing truth, but I think it was that same place within me that wanted to hook onto that big fish and was willing to go wherever it took me, because it was miserable where I was at that point. And I will say, before I get further into the story, since I was quoting the New Testament, that I certainly did not, it wasn't my choice that the big fish towed me into anything that had to do with the Christian tradition. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. If I were going to be doing anything that involved other people, I would prefer to be something cool, like a Buddhist or a Quaker. But it seemed that this is where the big fish was taking me and where the big fish wanted me to be. And there have been many times earlier in the journey when I had to go back over this and assure myself that anybody else responding the same way in the same circumstance, their big fish might take them anywhere else. I don't think the big fish has any prejudice towards Christianity or the Christian church. I just think the big fish, that's where it knew for its own reasons that that's where I was needed, perhaps, and it's where I needed to be, that mutual formation between the individual and the tradition, or the individual and the institution. We form the institutions we're part of, and we also form the traditions we're part of. Anyway, enough of that. So back to 2010 and the Pilgrimage of Love. I had it in my mind to go to Israel, Palestine, and to somehow gain entrance into the Gaza. It seemed like this is the way the big fish was towing me, and meet with the mothers there, develop relationships with them, and pray with them, and ask them to pray for the women in different communities around the world that were similarly oppressed, similarly on hard times. And I would ask those other communities to be praying for the mothers in the Gaza. I thought maybe after the Gaza I'd return to Okobo and talk with the mothers there and say, we've got these mothers in the Gaza praying for you. You pray for them, and I'm going on to South India. At that point, that was what I thought my next stop would be. I didn't have any connection in Afghanistan or Iraq at that point. So anyway, I was going to South India, then on to Hong Kong, probably, maybe for a little, Myanmar, then on to Hong Kong for a little R&R. This is 2010. And then to South Korea, then maybe to the reservations in Saskatchewan, where I had some connection, and then maybe connect in with the sex workers in Chicago, where I had a very tenuous possible in. So I was sketching this out and figuring out how it would work, and somebody, one of my spiritual advisors, said, that sounds very ambitious. And I thought about that. Well, it wasn't my ambition. It just seemed to be where the big fish had in mind for me to go. But I, by that point, knew that if it wasn't where the big fish wanted me to go, I wouldn't go there. And if it was, I would. So I was just about, it was November of 2010, and I was about to, that very evening, to get my tickets to Israel, Palestine. And I found an email in my inbox from my young friend Johnson, who I'd met in 2007 in Okobo, announcing that he and his mother were coming to visit for the month of December, his mother being the Reverend Elizabeth Lamda Chol, who had practically no English, but she had more English than I did in Nuer. And they would be there from the beginning of December till the end of December with me and whoever else I chose to introduce them to. So I put the Pilgrimage of Love aside because that clearly was not what I was going to be doing immediately. And we had a month. And then at the end of the month, we went down to Logan Airport in Boston, and I walked them up to security. And as I had been completely consumed by their time with me, and it was lovely to have them. And I remembered the Pilgrimage of Love and getting women of what I call the underside. I got that phrase from the sociologist Elise Boulding, getting the women of the underside to pray for each other. So I asked Johnson to ask Elizabeth to ask the mothers in Akobo to please pray and be praying for the mothers in the Gaza. And he seemed to get it. He conveyed it to Elizabeth. Elizabeth's face lit up. I got it, that she got it. I said goodbye, turned away to go back to my car as they returned to Africa. And I was not 10 steps away when it hit me powerfully that the pilgrimage had already started, that I didn't need to go personally, physically, that just that request to Elizabeth had been a catalyst that had joined me and those I had on my heart and those I would be praying for into a network, a flow, a metaphysical infrastructure, a something that I felt was generated from the prayers of the mothers in the Gaza. So I was like clicked into, it was like crystals forming in a supersaturated solution. I was brought in with my concerns, my desires to be part of and help support a prayer network of this sort, of the underside, connected in with something that was there already, or at least was formed well enough so that it wasn't me and my prayers. I was becoming a part of something. Within a short period of time, a prayer came to me, to which there's a link here near this story. And the prayer is, I put stuff at the beginning and stuff at the end, but the basic structure of the prayer is, all living, ever-loving one, you who breathe in us the spirit of your presence and desire of us only your wholeness, we bring before you the pilgrimage of love, a communion of prayer through the underside. Form and flow through it as it is your will. Bless those within its embrace, fostering them in wisdom, strength, stamina, and joy, that it may embody your desire and renew us all for your service. Amen, or whatever you say at the end of prayers. So I have been praying that every day, and I've passed that prayer on to others who have resonated with it and presumably are praying it. I've felt that communion, which in Christian terminology might be called the body of Christ or the communion of saints, who knows, doesn't make any difference, and this, they may not be coterminous, they may overlap, doesn't make any difference. I don't need to know. I don't think anybody needs to know. I've felt it expand and grow through the continuity of prayer and the awareness that regardless of what name we call it, that there are people throughout the world and beyond praying in the same vein, praying the same prayer, whether it's of the same language or not, is irrelevant. There's several things I like about this. One is that I have no idea who might be the participants in this pilgrimage of love. You may have been one for years. You may recognize it in yourself. You may not. You may still have been one. I walk down the street. I think of somebody. I have no idea whether they're part of the pilgrimage or not. There are no requirements. There are no entrance exams. They're just, it's just the movement of the heart, I think, or a movement of the soul, or of the spirit, or just an agreement, or a desire, or a hunger, or a recognition. And I like that part of it, that nobody's in charge here. There's no inside or outside. And the other thing I appreciate is praying for this communion of prayer and praying on its behalf. So when I use a prayer, when I pray a prayer, offer a prayer that has first person plural, a classic in the Christian tradition is Our Father who art in heaven. Who's our? Well, for me now, that if I happen to be praying that prayer or any prayer that has the first person plural, I'm including, I'm praying on behalf of, I'm praying as a member of the pilgrimage of love. And also, I've become, as was intimated in the story of Power of Light, I have a certain attraction to the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. And so when I receive that sacramental communion through that, I am also receiving it on behalf of the pilgrimage of love. Whether the individual members of the pilgrimage of love like that or sort of find it a little repulsive and weird, there's some sort of filter effect here, so it's just the strengthening, the supporting, the nourishment, the bolstering that comes from that, that is, I find, suffused throughout that communion. So again, it's something the relevance to Spark of Light work is not linear, to me anyway, but there is some intuitive connection here, and I certainly find that my sense of the pilgrimage of love, that communion of prayer through the underside, feeds my spark, or it feeds my roots that sustain my spark. It might also be, at times I think of it as in the roots meditations, if you've listened to those, there's the spreading roots that give us the stability. There's the deep taproot that gives us, moves towards the aquifer of living wisdom. And then there's all those little root hairs that grow out and touch and traverse and connect with and move beyond the root hairs of those around us and those people we're thinking of and the throughout dimensions, throughout space, throughout dimensions, throughout time. And I think that I associate that with the pilgrimage of love too. I think of it sort of as being the same population. Maybe population isn't the right word. Anyway, so I offer that to you for whatever benefit it might give. And thank you for your participation and interest. And know that you could just declare yourself, feel yourself to be a member of that communion, and you will be being prayed for and fed. Peace be with you.